Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and together we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss on today's broadcast, we encourage your call right now to 844-322-2742. Of course, that's toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And now to keep the good news coming for Basic Gospel, here's my friend Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're excited about this season of the year,
yes,
man.
We are.
Just Christmas is right around the corner. I just cannot believe how fast this year has gone. But boy, has it flown by. But it's been a great year, great year here at Basic Gospel. We are so thankful, so grateful to all of the people who have stood with us. I call it Basic Gospel Nation, to deliver the good news of Jesus to people far and wide, and literally around the world. People in 119 different countries are tuned in to the broadcast, to the Basic Gospel broadcast, and that's exciting to hear. I mean, we have a group in England that listens to us on our YouTube feed almost every day. We have folks scattered in various places in Europe, Australia, the Philippines, Canada. It's just amazing to see the broad outreach. But folks, there's more folks to reach, and we certainly want to tell the story to them as well. Yeah. And we thank you for all the ministry that you've enabled to happen this year, and we want that momentum to continue so that we can reach even more people in 2018. And the reason is because we've got a great story to tell.
Yes.
We've got the story. We've got the story that people are begging to be a part of. Now, they may not know that, but they're begging to be a part of something bigger than themselves. They're begging to have their spiritual needs of unconditional love and acceptance met. They're begging to somehow be free from this burden of guilt and shame and fear and all those things that are so much a part of the human equation that rob people of joy and all the things they desperately seek. They want to be a part of a story that gives them that sense of freedom, gives them that peace. And there's only one story that can do that, and that's the story of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and
indeed.
That's what we celebrate this time of year, his birth into this world, the incarnation, when he became flesh and blood. I love how the writer of Hebrews tells the story, and he certainly tells it from a Jewish perspective, but he brings a heavenly perspective into it. And we see a little bit of that in Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 14. He says, "Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things." So that's the Christmas story, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah.
The fact that he became one of us.
He sure did.
And he did it for a purpose. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is going to tell us in this short passage and really throughout his entire letter. But he shared in our flesh and blood. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So he shared in our flesh and blood. He himself likewise partook of the same things that through death, he was even going to partake of that. He was going to partake of our death, so that the one who has the power of death might be destroyed. That is the devil. And he did this to deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. You know, all of us are scared to death to die.
Yes.
We're afraid of that. It's not so much the dying, it's what we know is after the dying. As the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 9, you know, a man is destined to die once, and then comes the judgment.
Yes.
So we know judgment is around death's door, on the other side of that. And we're scared to death to be judged by God. And that's why God sent Jesus in the world, so that our judgment could be absorbed into him. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So there was a great exchange. He took upon himself our sin, and he took upon himself in his body our judgment, our condemnation, and our death.
Yeah.
Why did he do that? To free us to experience new life in him, to stand in his righteousness, totally pleasing and acceptable to God forever. So that's what this Christmas story is all about. He even goes on to say, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. That's exactly what Jesus did through his death on the cross. He made propitiation for your sins and for my sins. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. God knows exactly what you're going through. Jesus knows what you're feeling, what you're experiencing. He knows the pressures of this world, the temptations that are out there in this world, and he loves you. He tasted your death for you. He took away your sins once and for all so that you could stand in his righteousness. So if you're going through something today, if you are being overwhelmed by the world situation and you think God doesn't know what you're feeling, let this passage be an encouragement to you to turn your eyes to Jesus, because he knows exactly what you're going through. He's sympathetic, he's empathetic, and he wants to give you grace and mercy in your time of need. That's the story of Christmas.
And it is good news, and it's basic gospel. It's what you hear each day on this broadcast, and we're glad that you're with us today. Friends, we're less than 2 weeks away from the end of the year, the 31st, of course, being the tax deadline for 2017 gifts, and we still have a way to go. At last report, we needed something about, Bob, what did we need? Last I heard was 75.
Yeah, it's still around there.
Around
so,
there, 75,000 by the end of the month to clear our budget, and frankly, we're hoping to see that totally eliminated, totally met and exceeded, as a matter of fact, so that we can take this message that has made such a difference in so many people's lives into new areas where new ears need to hear of the love of Jesus for them. So please, if you will, go to basicgospel.net and click that donate button. Again, basicgospel.net. You can call 844-322-2742 to support Basic Gospel. Again, that number, of course, 844-322-2742. You can send your donation by regular mail to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, actually Hebron Parkway. H-E-B-R-O-N Parkway, that's Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. You can also use PayPal or the Basic Gospel app. And as you do, we're going to send you a copy of our new book, When God Tore the Curtain. So please do that if you can today. Well, guys, had a question from Darlene, who wrote to us from Canada, concerns Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. She says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. Please explain the statement made by Jesus. I tried to tell someone what it meant the other day and fell short, so I need to know how to explain it to them. What did Jesus mean by this? That's from Darlene in Canada.
Yeah, good question, Darlene. And it's one of those confusing passages because we read in other parts of the New Testament things like this. 1 John 2:12, where John wrote, I write to you, my little children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. We read in Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace. In Colossians 2:13, he says that he has forgiven all of our sins. So we're just pounded with that message that our sins have been forgiven once and for all. Not just some of them, all of them. That means past, present, and future sins. In Christ, we have forgiveness. So when you receive Christ, you receive that forgiveness of sins. It's yours. You are a forgiven person. So that's the message that we read in the Word of God. And then we read this passage in Matthew 6, which is the tail end of the Lord's Prayer. And we scratch our heads and say, what does that mean? What does that mean that if we forgive others, God will forgive us? But if we don't, then God won't forgive us. Well, it's a passage that is really trying to get at the heart of the people. It's like, are you forgiving others? I mean, you may be clean on the outside, but are you forgiving others from the heart? Well, if you're not doing that, why would you expect that kind of forgiveness from God? And so that's the message, and it's supposed to get them to the point of saying, well, how then can I be saved?
Yeah.
And that's a question that we see asked several times in the book of Matthew. And that is one of those concluding questions that we should be asking after reading through the pages of Matthew, because Matthew is showing Jesus really giving the spirit of the law, what it's all about. You want to be righteous through your works, through your obedience to the law? Then let me show you what that looks like.
Yes.
And then judge to see if you're doing okay or not. And I think this is one of those passages that does that. It says, okay, are you forgiving others from the heart? Well, no, Lord, I'm holding grudges. I'm angry at people. I'm ticked off at folks. And no, I'm not forgiving people, and I shouldn't, because they don't deserve it.
Yeah.
They deserve my judgment.
That's right.
They deserve my wrath. They deserve those sort of things. And he's saying, well, see, that's why you need Jesus. That's why you need to realize that forgiveness is really based on a blood economy. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus was going to die on a cross, was going to shed his blood so that we could be forgiven. And so once that happens, we see the message change, don't we?
Yes.
So if you forgive, God will forgive you. If you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. After the cross, after the work of Jesus, we see, like Ephesians 4:32, forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven you. Same thing in Colossians chapter 3. So, hey, you've been forgiven, and now because of that, forgive others in the same way. And the whole difference is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It was shed once and for all, and so we can recognize we live in this new covenant, not in the old. In this new covenant, God remembers our sins no more. Where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. So we can rejoice in the forgiveness that is ours and gladly give it to those who offend us.
Yeah. Darlene, hope that helps you, and we're glad that you wrote to us. And friends, if you have a question, you can get it to us any of several ways, a couple of good ways. First would be to call 844-322-2742. You can do that right now. We're on the air live at this particular time, and we'd like to talk with you, 844-322-2742. Or you can drop it by email to us at bob@basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our caller who has a question on resurrection.
Hi, Bob. I just wanted to know, I believe very, very much in the resurrection and Jesus coming back as a human again. But what happened after that? How did he leave the world again, or did he just turn into a spirit and stay with us? In other words, what happened after the resurrection? And he went to the disciples and showed that he was Jesus. Bye-bye.
Hey, that's a great question. And sometimes we forget about the ascension. So,
yes.
So the gospel really is a four-part story. Mm-hmm. You know, if we want to include the birth, it becomes a five-part story. So you have the birth of Jesus, the time that he became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what we're celebrating at this season. And then you have the death of Jesus, that he died for our sins according to scriptures. Then we have the burial of Jesus. So it's kind of interesting. You look back, you know, at the Exodus story, and they crossed through the Red Sea, you know, God had parted the sea, they crossed through, and then the sea came back, and all the Egyptians died in that. They
yes.
were buried, and what does that indicate to the Israelites? That their old life in Egypt had now ended.
Mm-hmm.
And so the burial of Christ, we died with Christ, and our old man was crucified with Christ. Our old life is dead and gone. So that's the burial aspect of it. And then there's the resurrection. So Christ's death could not hold him in that grave. And so he came out, and he's alive. and now he gives us his life. That's why he said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. That was our problem. We were dead spiritually. We needed life. So resurrection answers that problem. It's the solution to our deepest need. And then Christ ascended.
Yes.
And so there was a 40-day period between his resurrection and his ascension. And he talked to the disciples about that on this particular day he was going to ascend into heaven, and he had gathered with them on the Mount of Olives, and he ascended into heaven. And that's where he is now, in
correct.
Bodily form.
In bodily form.
Not in spirit form, but in bodily form. And he's going to come back again. Now, the reason that he ascended into heaven, when he got there, he was given the Holy Spirit, and he gave the Holy Spirit to us. So
yes.
That's what we see at Pentecost. So the result of his ascension was the giving of the gift of God's Spirit.
Yes.
So God's Spirit now lives in us. Now, we say that that's Christ living in us. We say that's God the Father living in us. Why? Because God is one.
Yes.
He's manifested in three persons. But if God lives in us, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But he has taken up residence in us in the form of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So his Spirit in union with our spirit, that's what makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So Jesus in his bodily form is in the heavenlies, and he is going to come back at the second coming. That's
yes.
good news.
Yeah, there was a interesting statement that the angel made, right? At the ascension, Jesus was talking, and then he raised into the sky and disappeared into the clouds. And these angels were standing there saying, why are you staring at the sky? And then they said, this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. We always focus on in the clouds, but he raised physically. He's returning physically, not just in the clouds, but
yes.
he's returning as a human.
Yes.
That's from the mouth of the angels, God's mouth to their mouth, to our ears.
Right.
That's hope.
Now, and why that's so important is because, you know, when we die, we're not going to become angels that sit on clouds.
Correct.
You know, we hear this all the time, and folks, stop it. Just stop it. You know, when somebody dies, they say, oh, I guess God needed another little angel up there.
Yeah, they're up there looking down on us.
Don't
every
you know,
time a bell rings.
Yeah, don't yeah. you know that we're going to judge angels? I mean, we're
yeah.
not like angels. Angels are not like us. Angels will never experience what we experience in Christ. As a matter of fact, they are so enamored. Peter said they long to look into this grace of God.
Yes.
That we experience through this gospel message. So, no, when we're called to heaven, when we go to be with the Lord, we don't become little angels with our harps sitting on clouds at all. We maintain our identity as human beings, and we go as it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
But one day we're going to get resurrected bodies. The same way that Jesus received
yes.
a resurrected body, and it's coming back in that body, we're going to have bodies as well. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 is
yes.
all about. Well, tell us what kind of bodies they're going to be. Well, they're not going to be like these bodies. They're going to be changed instantly, and the mortal is going to put on immortality. The perishable is going to put on imperishable, and we're going to live with Christ forever. So we're going to be human bodies, resurrection bodies, eternally. And
yes.
that's good news. So Jesus is coming back in his body. We're going to have bodies. That's the last resurrection. And that's how we're going to live eternally.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And we had a question from Danielle. She says, I have friends who say that the old Bible translations are the best and the truest translations, and the King James is the very truest. I do like the KJV. However, I don't always understand what it's saying. I was just wondering, is there a better translation that is more truthful? And are there versions that are not considered, that are considered just bad, she says. I like the NIV, the NASB, and sometimes the Amplified. I go back and forth on my electronic Bible as well, and I'm wondering if that is a safe practice. That's from Danielle.
Well, I think that is a safe practice.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've been blessed. We're a blessed generation as far as the Word of God is concerned. You know, folks back in, you know, Martin Luther's day, even before that, they gave their lives. I mean, they were martyred, killed in just unbelievable ways because they were trying to get the Bible to the masses. Mm-hmm. They were doing incredible work translating from whatever manuscripts they had. Sometimes it was from the Latin Vulgate. Mm-hmm. So Jerome, back around 300 AD, translated the Greek Septuagint. So that was a translation of the Old Testament Hebrew into the Greek language.
Yes.
And he spent long years translating that into Latin so that it could be made available in the Roman Empire.
Yes.
But it was hidden from the people. The people didn't have access to those translations. And then, you know, when Martin Luther and those guys came to be, they started translating it into English, into German, and those sort of things. So we have various translations. The King James Version, a lot of it was tied to the Latin Vulgate. So it was translated off of a translation.
Yes.
And then they used a lot of the manuscripts that they had, and so they blended it. And that's how the King James Version came to be. Mm-hmm. So in time, as archaeologists have uncovered new manuscripts and more manuscripts, some dated closer to the actual time of Christ, we've tried to compile those and base translations off of those earlier manuscripts. And I think some of the translations that have come out in the last 100 years are probably more pure because they're based upon these manuscripts that are dated earlier than what we had before.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the New American Standard Bible, you use that a lot, don't
yes,
you, Richard?
Yes, I do.
And that's a fabulous Bible.
Yeah.
It's a word-for-word type translation. Mm-hmm. So they do the best they can to pick the word in English that's going to mirror the word in the original
yeah,
language.
Greek or Hebrew or
right,
Aramaic.
Right.
Yeah.
But sometimes they have to,
yeah.
you know, fluff it up a little bit just for readability. There's others like the English Standard Version, which is really good. So I would say get all of them. Read them,
yes.
compare them, and I think you're going to get the fullness of what
yeah,
the passage is
saying.
That's
the point. No single translation can get it all correct.
Yes.
Period.
That's exactly
so read them all. And most importantly, ask the Spirit to reveal it to you.
That's the key right there.
Indeed. Well, we appreciate hearing from our listeners. And if you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss, give us a call at 844-322-2742. You can do that anytime over the holiday weekend. And we'd love to hear from you and address that question soon on Basic Gospel. Richard, we're running really, really short of time. But just very quickly, give us an idea of what we're looking at the end of the year.
We're looking at a chance for investment. And that's the way I'm going to put it. If you're looking for an investment to make, an investment that can't miss, invest in the gospel. We present the gospel. We read the Bible. We see this gospel. You've heard it. Invest in making it possible for others to hear it. Your investment will come back unimaginably huge as lives are changed for Jesus.
Absolutely. Thank you, Richard. And, of course, friends, you can go to basicgospel.net, click donate. You can give by phone at 844-322-2742. You can give by mail at if you'd like to address Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, and we spell that H-E-B-R-O-N, Hebron Parkway, Suite 310. That's in Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. You can also give through PayPal and through the Basic Gospel app. We ought to remind you also, friends, that you have the opportunity to join us when we do the live program on Facebook and in YouTube. And these are just wonderful new ways that God has opened up for us to stream the gospel so that you can see what goes on inside the studio. So join us that way if you can. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back for that Friday before Christmas edition tomorrow at the same time. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.